Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So, we need to do course evaluations today. Can I have a volunteer to be responsible for these? Okay, so I'll leave you about 15 minutes at the end of class. And I want to say a couple things about the final. So the final exam is on a week from Tuesday. And unlike the in-class exams, this one's going to be open-ended, and you're going to be allowed to use MATLAB, so you're going to need your laptops.
What do you mean by open-ended?
Any problem I feel like giving you.
Okay.
Relevant to the course, of course.
So it's going to be probably something a little bit more similar to the test you gave 10 years ago than the more recent ones.
Yeah, you might want to look at last semester exam, which I did in this format for the first time. And I gave them a big circus problem that they had to work in that act.
So, more application.
It was kind of a disaster, but.
Will there be any power strips or anything?
Yeah, we'll have a problem.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Thank you for reminding me about that. I always forget about that.
Hey, there's power
in here. We don't have power in here, that's right. So we last time we got a different classroom.
Could
somebody do me a favor and send me a message, just a short message, just saying, remember about power or something.
Maybe we'll all bring a couple of power screws.
No, we'll move to a classroom that has power, or we'll figure it out.
Is there one in the building?
Yeah.
Does it?
I think we did it in 203. Anyway, yeah, there's a. That's right. That's the classroom we used it. So we'll get power. So the deal with the final exam problems are more than likely they're going to be messy enough that you're going to really need to work them in MATLAB. You need to sort of set them up, but actually do computations in MATLAB. So please be, you'll need to be familiar with how to use MATLAB to do things like solve circuits problems, get frequency responses, transforms, all those kinds of things. And you will last time we provided a printer, but that turned out to be kind of a mess for students. So what I'm thinking I'm going to do this time is just have you put everything into a document and email it to me.
I think that'll be easier. Be a standard 3-hour format? Or
it'll be a 3-hour format. If you want to go longer than 3 hours, we can, but usually. I did this for the first time last semester, and it was kind of a disaster, but I think it was a good learning experience because many of you probably have not spent a lot of time using MATLAB to actually do things beyond like little pieces here and there. So now you're going to have to kind of put everything together and use MATLAB as an auxiliary tool to solve problems. So we'll see how it goes. But as always, the work you show towards getting the solution is more important than actually getting the right solution.
So we'll do well if we think through the problem and do something reasonable.
Yes, I think many people in this class could raise their scores on the exams if, in answering the exam, you wrote a short outline of your strategy for solving the problem, and then you actually tried to solve the problem. Because a lot of times from your work, it's not clear what your strategy was, especially when your work kind of goes like this, all over the place. But most of you, I think, if you just sort of relax and think things through, you could describe the 3 or 4 steps that it would take to work the problem. Okay, so any other questions on that?
State variables are a fair game?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not for Wednesday, right?
Not for Wednesday. Right, we have an exam on Wednesday.
Will
we
talk
about last class.
Some other time.
What?
We do that some other time.
The exam on Wednesday?
Yeah.
No, you blew that. I gave you guys an exam.
I didn't realize it was going to be that bad until last week.
Yeah. I'm totally booked till
Friday.
Yeah, I
take
excuses. It after that.
What's your excuse now?
There's a lot of other crap going on.
The projects that didn't seem so bad are blowing up in our faces. Is what's happening.
Well,
too bad.
What's your alternative on Friday?
We can take it on Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Let's just do it right now.
Right now.
I sometimes wonder if I gave you the exam right now, I have a feeling the scores would be about the same as when I actually designed to prepare for it. Because I think, you know, in preparing, everybody excites themselves. Is what?
No, it wouldn't be designed. It's guaranteed.
What if it was an easier test now? Versus
I think the ball would be a lot flatter.
I think there's a. This is not the kind of class you can cram for. So I think there's a lot of wasted cycles when you guys cram for exams in this class.
I can cram pretty good for a test. I can cram pretty good for a test.
We trained to cram. That's what I don't understand. You say you can't cram. We trained to cram. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know who trains you. I don't train students to cram.
I mean, I'm not saying you take
life and the way school is set up.
That's how I got through middle school and high school and college.
When I took a professional engineer's exam, I took it in Chicago, and we had several major engineering schools. And I remember very clearly that you take it in a big auditorium with all these different, and all the students from Northwestern, which was kind of like the Ivy League school in Chicago, had all their books stacked up. They had stacks of books around there and everything, and I just walked in with the calculator and took the exam and passed it. It wasn't a big deal. But a lot of people were cramming and this and that, and you know, I think in exams, like in this class in particular, the critical thing is the strategy for solving the problem, not the details. And that it's so hard to get students to write the strategy in the exam. So I think a lot of times your written solutions don't really reflect how much you know about each of the problems. How to work the problem is not really something that comes from cramming, but just from being in class every day and seeing the material over and over and letting it all kind of sink in. So I would hope for the final that many of you could just walk into the final and take it without much preparation.
Yes.
Actually, like, this is probably the one course that I wouldn't have to, like, redo everything again, you know?
And I certainly don't try to reward you for memorization and things like that. I mean, that doesn't help things. There was a question.
Well, I was going to say that I think that we've gotten that way where we cram and don't write all the steps because we won't have a teacher where either they don't give partial credit, it's the answer being correct is the only thing that matters, or the test is so long you don't have time to write all the steps.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had tests that I can't even finish if I actually check what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's an exam thing right there.
So you kind of get trained how to do it then.
I've had exams where
and just like the way that we have with other stuff,
like a gasoline,
just don't have like
pass that test.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of that this semester, and I've been talking to people about that. It worries me when the labs should not take, the labs, in my view, take too much time. It seems. I heard students spending inordinate amounts of time.
Like, even if you didn't want to cram, like even if you tried to, like, many times before, it's just, you have so much more going on with it. It's awesome.
Right. Well, the way I would study for this exam is I would look through the notes and just kind of go through them and say, okay, I know what that's about, I know what that's about, I know what that's about. If you get to that point, that's all it lies to you actually as a student. I think you'll do fine on the exam because you're not going to get a lot of additional credit for all these little details about, you know, quadratic equations, solutions, and dividing by this and multiplying by that. And that kind of stuff you're going to mess up anyway under time pressure. I've messed that kind of stuff up under time pressure.
Do you have all the links working on the slides yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's not? If you find something, let me know. I corrected the syllabus. So you can go down the syllabus.
Okay.
So my question is, the final's going to be on MATLAB, but, like, if we know, like, there, like, what should be the response or whatever, like, can you try it even if you don't know how to...
Well,
get it
right. The final can actually take both. So my argument about the final is you should never get an answer wrong because you know from your theory generally what the solution should be. MATLAB helps you work the details. MATLAB gives you ways to check things two or three different ways. What happened on last final was really funny. It wasn't intended, but it was really funny that a couple of the path students used to try to solve the problem in MATLAB, the MATLAB functions choked. Like they were trying to take an inverse transform, and the inverse transform function wouldn't return an answer because of the complexity of the polynomial or something. And I didn't work the problem that way, so I didn't see that. But it was kind of, it turned out to be a good experience, actually. But they had to deal with
it. Sounds like a terrible experience.
No, that's a great experience. Because that's what happens in the real world, is your computer tool fails, and you have to think of another way to do it.
You don't get fired, though, if you can't get an answer in 3 hours, usually.
You can, but you guys are living in a world where time is running.
But we're also allowed to call our resources in 3 hours.
Exactly. That's one of the big differences. And hopefully you've done that by studying as groups this semester.
So we can call each other during the final?
Well, not quite during the final, but...
are we going to have access to, like... Can we have access to book and notes?
I've been tempted to give a final. I would really like to give a final like that where the class could work collectively and solve some really hard problems.
Do it.
No.
No, that's a bad idea.
It's like, no.
Did you hear the key that he said solve some really hard problem?
Yeah, did you hear
it? Yes, I take the complexity of a problem you can solve individually and multiply it by 25. That can be a really interesting problem.
Yes, it
could. Well, what I like about the final in this class, in this format with MATLAB, is I can make the problems a little more meaningful because I don't have to require the solutions to be workable by hand. So hopefully, through this process, you'll actually feel good about your ability to solve a fairly complicated problem using your computer tools and using your analytical tools.
Is it like open book?
It's open book, open notes, everything.
Okay, so any resources plus MATLAB?
Well, not any resources because you can't start text messaging your college.
Solo resources, I guess.
We can Google search, but we cannot like post the answers we're finding online.
You can.
I'll make a wiki. Right,
just don't start blogging. I'll drop
Twitter.
A blog filter over the room or something.
I'm going to live blog my test.
But I think the point with the final is a chance for you to use all the tools you have at your disposal to solve problems. So just don't psych yourselves out. That's a good thing. Yeah.
How hard was the problem?
I don't know. It depends on how more, you know, problems just sort of come to me in moments of inspiration.
Are you going to work out between the work and MATLAB?
Or what?
Are you going to work out before?
Of course not. That'll take too much work.
We have to do it in 3 hours.
It's much better to let you guys struggle with it and then look at your solution and say, okay, I think that's right.
So if the entire class gets the same answer, that's right.
No, usually if the problems are good, and last semester's problem wasn't too creative, but I'm going to work a little harder this semester. But usually if the problem's good, then there's no right or wrong answer. There's sort of degrees of answers.
What are we, philosophy majors?
Shut up.
So, and if you have any ideas for problems, you know, send them to me. I'll be happy to...
What is your
structure of problems around something to find interesting?
I don't know. I'm going to get that out of MATLAB.
Will it just be out of 100 or will there be any bonus opportunities?
This one will probably just be out of 100.
This test the painter toilet.
Well, it'll probably be 3 problems, is my guess, but I'll look. It depends on the complexity of the problem. Yeah, I know a couple people have three. Let me comment on that. A couple people have conflicts. They have 3 exams on that day, and we're working around that. I'm more than happy to move the exam. If you have a situation where you think you have too many exams within a short amount of time, talk to Mr. Nasser, and we'll get you. We can reschedule one of them or something. But I'd like you to go through Mr. Nasser because he kind of arbitrates that for me. But I'm going to have to do it anyway, if others of you want to take the exam at a later date because of this problem and Nasser agrees it's a problem, then I'll go on with it. What
if we have 2 really hard ones back to back? I mean, does that mean the rules online say you have to have three on a day to...
Yeah, three on a day is out. I would say if you have three over a two-day period...
Some education.
We've got four over 2 days.
We've got four over 2 days.
Yeah. Okay, if you have four over 2 days, I think you should talk to Mr. Nasser about moving this one and tell him that I was for it.
Is it going to be an alternate exam if we'll be?
That won't really help me.
It depends on how many people elect.
But last
night. It might be only.
Oh. That's terrible. Every once in a while, like that.
I'd rather just take that risk instead of being alternate.
I mean, it'll be of the same complexity.
I'm not even looking at that.
It's not like
the
later exam is going to be more difficult.
Right. It'll be a different exam.
It'll be a different exam.
I've seen your different exams.
No, you didn't. That wasn't a fair comparison. All right. From time to time during the semester, I had to give an alternate exam, and some of the students who've done that got the privilege of taking one of my more interesting exams versus these homework problem exams. But the final exam will be similar. It'll be very similar in scope. But
I'll take the final with the class.
You want to take the final with the class?
I'm more than willing to move it, and you're not going to be penalized for that. So if you have four exams in 2 days and you think that's too much, like I said, talk to Mr. Nasser just so he, and I'll be more than happy to accommodate you. But for this exam, I would hope that you can walk in and just kind of do it based on the things you've learned. I'm not going to ask you obscure things. It'll be simple things like impulse responses, Fourier transforms, you know, basic kinds of things. But putting them all together to solve some kind of real problem, sort of like what we're going to talk about today with state variables. Okay, so let me just... spend a few minutes today. We'll break 15 minutes early so you can do the exam, the evaluations. But so let's go through a state variables example, the example I'm going to work through comes from the book, so you can read it in more detail in the book. But you'll recall our state variable equations and solutions. So on the first there, top line there, we have the state variable equations. The derivative of x of t is equal to a times x of t plus b times v of t. Those are all vectors and matrices like we've discussed. And then the output equation, y of t is equal to c times x of t plus d times v of t. The time domain solutions for these are shown there, and we've derived these. We used a time domain technique to derive these in terms of the response due to the initial condition, and then the response due to the input. And then the output equation, same kind of thing. This is the output due to the initial condition and the output due to the system itself. And then we also, last class, worked these in the frequency domain, and we showed that y of s, if we take the Laplace transform of this, we can write this as s times I, an identity matrix, minus a inverse times x of 0 plus this matrix c times SI minus A inverse times B plus D times B of S. And we said that when we assume zero initial conditions, then this is the generalized transfer function for a linear system. And then last class, we also wrote down the discrete time equivalence of these things. So this is essentially all linear systems can be implemented with this graph here. And it's just a matter of taking something like a circuit and figuring out what these matrices should be. And we worked a couple circuits examples to show how that works for some simple systems. Now, in MATLAB, you can do all of these matrix manipulations very easily. So it would not be unreasonable to give you a circuit on the final, for example, and that's what I did last semester, and ask you for something like the frequency response of the transfer function. Just give you the circuit, ask for that, and leave it to you how to solve that. Now, if the circuit's sufficiently complicated, you may want to think about setting up the state variable equations and then solving these matrices in MATLAB. If the circuit is simple enough that you can write a transfer function by hand, then you can simply use MATLAB to plot the frequency response or to do Fourier transform or some such thing. So let's sort of walk through this example in the textbook involving a couple two-car system. And I wanted to do this example because it shows you that this can be applied to things other than circuits. And state variables are very powerful because we can use them to model a lot of different systems. So here in this particular example, we have two cars moving at various speeds. And the idea is then to try to model the distances of these cars and to actually model the difference in distance between the cars as a function of time. So D1 and D2 are the positions of the car as a function of time. F1 is the braking force applied to the first car. F2 is the braking force applied to the second car. And we can write a simple set of equations of motion of these cars. The second derivative of the position as a function of time is equal plus the braking constant divided by the mass. I think that was the mass.
Yeah.
And times the position is equal to the mass, the braking force divided by the mass. So what you don't have to worry about where these equations came from. They're just happen to be the equations that describe the motion here. And typically, when you're working in a real-world problem, you'd have an application expert like a physicist who could tell you what these equations were. So your job now is to actually solve these equations using state variables. So the inputs of the two-car system are going to be defined to be F1 and F2, and what we're going to do, the output of the system is going to be two things. It's going to be the change in position as a function of time of the first car, and the difference in distance between the two cars is W of T. And W of T is just equal to D1 of T minus D2 of T. So we can go ahead and define state variables here. We're going to let the first state variable be actually the thing. One of the things we want to measure is output, the derivative of the first car's position as a function of time. The second state variable is going to be the derivative of the second car's position as a function of time. And the third state variable is going to be the difference between the two absolute positions, D1 minus D2. So we can then take those variables and we can take those variables and we can essentially rewrite these three equations in this form. So we have the first derivative, x1 dot, is equal to minus kf over m times x1 plus 1 over m times f1, and x2 minus kf over m times x2 plus 1 over m times f2. Those come directly from those two differential equations, and then the third equation is simply the difference, expressing the difference between x1 and x2. So, and then the output equation, y, is just going to be the first derivative of d1 and w, which is what we've got here. So there's two inputs to the system, f1 and f2, and there's two outputs to the system, and it's d1 dot and w of t. So we can use Laplace transform to then deal with the A matrix. We're going to solve this thing as a function of time. We have to get this E to the AT. So the first thing that we can do is we can construct the matrix SI minus A, where I is an identity matrix. So I is just going to be a 3x3 matrix whose diagonals are 1, 1, 1. And then we subtract from that the matrix A, which we had from the previous equations. So we get the SI minus matrix here, and now we need to go ahead and compute the inverse. If we want to get, for example, the transfer function, we're going to need to compute the inverse of SIMSA. And so to get this inverse, you can take that 3x3 matrix and compute the inverse. And there's a number of ways that you can get that inverse. We won't belabor that in this class, but you do need, in this case, you need to get that inverse symbolically because it's a function of s. So once you have that inverse, then we can compute e to the at, because e to the at is just si minus a inverse. So e to the at then becomes the inverse Laplace transform of this si minus a. And so we can then take this matrix and just take the inverse of each one of these terms one by one, and we can get the e to the at matrix. And once we have that, then we now can write x of t, the state variable as a function of time, as a function of e to the at times x of 0. This is the response that results from the initial condition. So we can, for example, plug in some variables. We can plug in initial values for the velocities of the cars and initial values of separation. So in this case, we have the cars going at 60 miles per hour each and separated by 100 feet. And we can then compute x of t as a function of those initial conditions and write this expression for x of t. And what this shows us is that the both cars will essentially brake at the same speeds because they're running at the same speeds, so the cars will remain an equal distance from each other. So next, once you have x of t, then we can go ahead and compute y of t. So in this example, we now consider a situation where we have now actually some brake, a function that represents the braking force. So we can ask the question, when the second car brakes, what happens to the first car? At what point, for example, will the first car hit the second car? And things like that. So we can set up a forcing function, V of t, and we can get V of s, and then we can use this to compute x of s. Let me go back and show you that. So we want to get we got this thing. Now we want to get y of s, and we have v of s is an input. So we have all these other parameters of the system. So we can essentially compute the output as a function of those. So here we have let me go back to 1138. So with that forcing function, we can now go back and recompute x of t, taking into account that we now have this additional input. And from that x of t, then we can determine things like, is the distance between the cars going to be preserved? And so here we actually go work through to get x, the third state variable, x3 of t, was the distance w of t between the two cars. So here you actually have a function which expresses the difference between the two cars. And you can ask questions like, at what time will the two cars, will this thing go to zero? Because the one car is braking and the other car isn't. So the main thing I wanted to show in this example . So here they're actually plotting the distance between the cars as a function of time, and here's some MATLAB code to actually compute that. And you can see that MATLAB has some really nice support for state variables. So you set up the ABCD matrices, and then you can use MATLAB to compute the various inputs and outputs. But the main thing that I wanted to sort of demonstrate about this example, I think that's the last slide. So you have this problem, you have this physical system, and there's any number of things you might want to know about this physical system. But you have some freedom and with how you define the state variables, and because the state variables are really going to reflect what information you want to get out of the problem. So in this particular formulation, the key piece of information was we want to be able to predict the distance between the cars as a function of time. And that's why we define the third state variable to be the difference between the two distances, so that we can have a variable which corresponds to the distance between the cars. And then having that variable, you can then solve. When you set up the state variable equations, you're basically going to solve for x3 of t. That's going to tell us everything we need to know about the position between the cars. And x3 of t can be found by looking at the solution to our first state equation. And then once we've solved that equation, we can go and compute y. And y gives us three pieces of information. It gives us the velocities of the cars as well as the position between them. So one way to think about state variables, it's a way to take a problem and produce a representation that allows you to solve that problem in terms of parameters that are of interest to you. So in this case, we can use state variables to produce information about the distance between the cars. We could have defined the state variables to be other things depending on what we're interested in, but all these representations are essentially equal because for that particular problem, the number of degrees of freedom are basically fixed. There's only so many degrees of freedom to the problem. So this is an example that they work in the book that goes through many of the computations that you'd want to do with state variables, including how to do things in MATLAB. And the very last thing that they do is to actually get the transfer function of the system. And remember that this is a transfer function with respect to the state variables that you describe. So the transfer function is only going to be as good as the state variables that you define for it. So as you're reading the chapter, pay some attention to that problem. If you want to see an example of a problem that where they go through all the different types of calculations you might need to go through with state variables. Okay, so I'm here and let you guys do the course evaluations. I believe there's also a homework problem that goes through these similar kinds of calculations.